Drew,
huh?
How good does it feel to be back?
Ha-ha, great.
I gotta get a different app to play the song.
Like?
Because the screen will time out, and as soon as I tap the screen to wake it back up to finish up the track, it will stop the music.
Well, turn your phone to not go to sleep.
Setting?
Yes.
Where?
I don't know. But don't worry about it right now. Let's go on with the show.
Let's do it.
Welcome to another episode of Diapers and Haircuts.
Go ahead, do it.
Asshole.
Do it. Come on.
This is your boy, Drew, your craft beer connoisseur, your beer god. unfortunately, it's me and Los continuing this one. Marcel will be dipping and dabbing out within the season. So when the next time he'll be back, I don't know. But we miss him, we love him, and we'll go with it from there. So, Los, introduce yourself to the people.
I am Big Los, a.k.a. Mr. Crop Circle himself, a.k.a. the fat nigga that love food, a.k.a. the... I just started doing this board thing.
Board?
The soundboard.
Oh, yeah, controlling the board?
Yeah.
Hey, can you turn my headphones up?
This is weird, man. I got you.
Okay, just making sure. But from there, how was your week?
My week was amazing, right? Bunch of football this week, right?
Yeah, it is the day after the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite times of the year, right? We can definitely dive into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
My week, man, it's just all work and no play, right?
Yeah.
I've been stacked up of type of stuff. I explained in the last week episode of what I'm trying to do with the job and getting a promotion and learning and all that kind of stuff. So I've been in the midst of that. Family's good, family's healthy, family's well. How about you? How was your week?
Hectic, you know. Had to do a sales call, a sales meeting with my job. They still haven't found anybody for the other store. And then from there, I have an employee who's out on COVID, so I'm understaffed. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So with that, it's, you know, trying to hump and keep going with that, and then actually brewing beer, you know, and just keeping that going. You know, we got the Plum Basil Farmhouse Ale and Fermentation. I want to give a big shout out to you and Marcel for sticking after the show last week and wanting to learn the way of brewing and all that stuff. So
right.
I'm very excited, and, you know, I know that this batch is going to come out great, and it's very special to me and my heart. So shout out to Marcel. Shout out to you. Thank y'all so much. And from there, Libco-wise, we are still pressing on. We have stickers in-house, and we're going to be releasing stickers probably at the end of the month. If all this liquid is produced and we have labeling and canning and all that stuff go right, we'll be selling stickers online.
Nice.
They will be
on the website?
On the website, nice. LibcoBeer.com. You will buy a sticker. The sticker will be a little bit pricey, which I don't think is unreasonable, but you will be getting a complimentary gift in there as well, too, and probably some other things as well. So, by all means, for those who are listening, libcobeer.com, when the sticker's release, you will see it. Definitely sign up to our newsletter on there, because you'll be in the know of everything, because we're going to start trying to post out weekly or biweekly newsletters to the people, so make the liquid always prevail.
Right.
So other than that, we got a jam-packed show today, right?
100%.
And with this show, although the big game, the Super Bowl, was yesterday, we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl at all. What we're going to talk about Super Bowl-wise is our top five moments and or plays or Super Bowls.
Okay.
All right,
so top five plays that had to happen during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so do you want to just bounce back like one-to-one, or you do your five, I do my five?
Let's do a one-to-one, have okay. A conversation style.
Okay.
Beyond that, isn't it Valentine's Day?
It is Valentine's Day.
So we got to do something for the ladies.
We will. We'll do that later.
Okay.
Let's at least do sports first. Come on, man. Like, we just had the Super Bowl, all right? God damn.
All right, 100%, 100%. All right, so my favorite moment of any Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Is when, well, shit, shout out to Marcel and his Raiders. But when Tampa Bay went to the Super Bowl for the very first time back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And we straight decimated them.
That so, wasn't, that's not a good memory. It's not.
For who?
I mean, for you as a fan, I get it. But like, dude, that shit was whack, man.
It was
like
a blowout galore.
He came from the team that he's playing against.
Yes,
he came
did.
From that team.
He did.
And took over a black head coach's team that was destined to go to the Super Bowl.
Shout and out just, to Black History Month.
And just took them over the hump. Shout out to Tony Dungy.
Shout that was out to Tony, that was Tony's team.
That ring is Tony Dungy's ring.
I don't know, right? Because we blew them out so bad because John Gruden knew the Raiders offense through and through.
Well, he knew so, all of them. They didn't change any of their plays or their audibles.
Audibles or
the terminology.
Yep, nothing.
So it's like, oh, well, when they do this, we're going to do this.
Exactly.
And it's like, what the... And also, to the Raiders, and, you know, sorry, Marcel, how stupid of a fucking team can you be? Like, what in the fuck?
Yep.
But yep. I
think
I do.
I think it was three interceptions that game. It was
bad.
It was horrible, yeah. Right?
I do remember seeing that, and then that was like the legend of Chucky and all that stuff, and now he's written off to the sunset.
Oh, shout out to the Raiders once again.
So for me,
your favorite?
Favorite one actually is not involving the Cowboys. It is Butler's goal line pick. The Patriots and
over the
Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah. So paint the picture, right? So
okay.
We're at Jasmine's parents' house. We're down okay. in their basement. Mr. Davis has a Sony Aquos TV. And like when you dim the lighting and all that stuff, like the setting of that TV pops, right?
Okay.
And they did a whole spread, chips, dip, wings, brats, all types, like just Super Bowl, right? We just down there just drinking. Because we're above 21.
Right.
And we're just getting after it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been locked in on this game. We are desperately rooting against the Patriots. Everybody in the house.
Of course.
We want to see Marshawn Lynch get this ring and do this, right? And we get to this goal line stand. It's like, all right, you got to give it to the beast.
No, you got to, hold on. You got to paint it back. A couple plays prior to, Marshawn got him to the goal line.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're supposed to, you got to give him the ball. And it's like on the 1 yard line, and you give it to him. He either hops over the line or he just powers through, but he's going to get it. Or you can QB sneak it. I forgot how far that yard was.
Right.
Because it was like inches or something. But they pull back and he throws it on a slant route, and Butler picks the route. And
a guy who wasn't even first team.
No.
A guy that
scrub.
Was. Yep.
A fucking scrub.
100%. At that time, he was a scrub.
Yeah.
Afterwards, well-known household name.
Well, not even that. He was still a scrub because Belichick let him go. and he went to Tennessee and was like, damn, Belichick was right because he's getting burned left and right. It was just a freak of nature pick play.
Right.
It was
place
like,
at the right
you know,
time.
He his thinking and analytics of the game and of the play, he made a move and it worked.
Yep.
Right? And for that, and that's my thing like with the NFL, and this is a side tangent, how when one person can make one play and they're instantly a star or a legend, and it's like, look at their body of work. They haven't done shit. I'm talking about Odell Beckham Jr. because he did that catch against
that
against
one Cal- catch. Yeah. But although Odell Beckham had a phenomenal game against my Bucks a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like he deserved to be in the playoffs.
For sure. But I'm glad, you know, he was able to leave Cleveland and get that resurgence. But, you know, it's just one of those things. That catch against the Cowboys, Butler picking his playoff. It's like, what the fuck? But that's not the actual really cool part about the story.
Okay.
So when this happened, Mrs. Davis doesn't really curse like that. And she let it fly like a fucking sailor. Oh, hell, what the fuck is going on? This is some bullshit.
Damn.
Right? And then Mr. Davis said, fuck this, and left and went upstairs. And then went upstairs again to the bedroom. And I didn't see him for the rest of the night.
Oh, no.
He was that pissed. And, like, we was leaving, and I shot upstairs, like, yo, Mr. Davis, we leaving. All right.
Straight like that?
He was mad. That's hurtful. Set, and it was like, damn. And when we got in the car and we turned it on, we were sitting there waiting for the car to heat up. I said, Jasmine, I'm like, this is one of the most legendary Super Bowl stories ever.
Yep.
And this may this never die, right? Like, may this never die. So that's my one.
I got you. All right, my number two, the David Tyree catch, the helmet catch, back in 2009, 2010
Yep.
Something like that, something along those lines. The greatness about this is that everybody thought that New England was going to run the table, right? This is a New England team with Randy Moss, and they had an entire juggernaut of a squad. They were 17-0.
Yeah.
They went undefeated the regular season.
Yeah.
Then they go into the playoffs and lose in the biggest game off of a helmet catch. And fun fact, though, Eli Manning didn't beat Brady once.
No.
He beat him twice.
Twice.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right?
And talk cash money shit to him. Like,
if you ever watched the, what is it, the Peyton Manning and the Eli Manning cast? Manning,
yeah, yo, that shit is legendary. Like, another sidebar conversation. I'm sorry, but like, I love watching that shit. That shit's drawing me to Monday Night Football again. Because it's like, they're not doing regular play-by-play, and they don't give a fuck. You know, Eli Manning gave the double bird to the camera.
When?
It was like early. I'll show it to you later on YouTube. I gotta watch it. But like, it was like, you know, he was telling a story like, you know, 6-year-old Philadelphia Eagle fans are giving me the bird. And Peyton was like, do it. And he gave the bird. And then they had Marshawn Lynch. And you know, he's uncensored.
Yes.
They've gotten in trouble with the FCC. They had
word. All right. I got to watch those episodes. Dope. I missed those episodes. But they had one with Brady. With
Brady. Yes. And he was talking shit. Yeah. I was like, damn. I was like, when's your bedtime? I was like, now. Like, I gotta go to sleep. But yeah, so what else? Is that it?
That was it. Yeah. Okay. Yours.
All right. So for me, my two is Devin Hester's kickoff return in the Super Bowl.
Come on, man. Yeah. All right. I gotta find another
that,
one. Then.
That was dope because one, everybody knew you're not supposed to fucking kick to him.
Yep.
And they said, fuck it, you know, we don't respect you. We don't, our special teams are strong enough. And what does motherfucker do? Run the fucking field.
Yep. Devin Hester is probably the only, maybe there could have been another one, but he's the only player that I know of that had 100 speed in Madden.
I think Josh Cribbs had one for
100 speed?
It was like for probably like when a patch came out. Okay. For like a week or something like that. Okay. But yeah.
But yeah, that's phenomenal, right? Like, yeah. Like, everybody gets capped off at 99 or 99 and 99 or whatever. But I don't know. Like, he was a problem on the kickoff return.
Oh, yeah.
They tried to move the wide receiver. Didn't really pan out as
he
great.
He could still run. Just couldn't catch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, but as a kick returner, probably the best. Now, the next argument is probably, like, Dante Hall or something. But, yeah. But he was phenomenal in his time.
Return specialist. Go ahead.
What about the onside kick the Saints did to win against their Super Bowl against the Colts?
Yeah. After halftime.
Yep.
We don't respect your special teams. Fuck you.
We're going to get the ball back.
This is what we're going to do.
We're going to shock the nation.
Yeah.
And we're going to come out and play, right?
Yeah.
That was a game changer, right? Yeah. Nobody thought about kicking an onside kick at halftime to get an extra possession for your team.
Oh, yeah.
But what kind of gamble is that, though, right? Like, if you don't get it, the other team get it now at the 40, 45-yard line. And this is the Indianapolis Colts with a legendary Peyton Manning.
Pre-neck. Peyton Manning.
Yep. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Threw them the fuck off. Shout out to Sean Payton. For me, it would be Edelman's catch against the Falcons when
the
they were 28 down.
And 3?
Yeah.
The 28 and 3
when
game?
They were down, this motherfucker was draped. Three motherfuckers on him. And I mean, he boggled the ball and this, that, and the thing. And he caught and had possession on the way down. And I'm like, this is the turn. This is where it's going to happen.
It was 100%, right? Because when Julio Jones caught his catch on the sideline, I thought the game was over.
Oh,
I thought that was it, right? And watching the game, right, they were already up 28-3. We just knew that this game was over, right? If you remember that, I think were you there at the Super Bowl party that I had for that game?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
But funny fact, my dad was like, he bet that the Atlanta Falcons was going to win, right? You know how my dad talking shit
yeah.
the entire time. I said, Pop, it's time for the Brady magic.
Mm-hmm.
Just said it like that. It's time for the Brady magic. And he's sitting there like, no, he ain't going to come back. It's over with. This game over. You know, my dad talks big shit.
Cash money.
Next thing you know, I see Brady saying a prayer on the sideline. Looked like it was a prayer. I don't know. He was talking to himself.
Talking to the Illuminati.
And and next thing you know, he walks him down and like wins the game for him. Biggest comeback in NFL history.
Captain comeback.
And when we were down against the Rams, I'm bringing this game up again, about 2-3 weeks ago, I saw the same thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
But fucking Cooper Kupp caught that deep pass and we fucking lost the game last 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Sorry.
Fuck you.
It was a glorious, glorious scene. For me, although I despise the Eagles, but the Eagles beating the Patriots, them running the Philly special.
Nick Foles.
Okay. Nick Foles. And I was still working at World of Beer, and I worked that game. And it was weird because our bar semi-transformed into an Eagles bar that season.
Because you're so close.
Right. And it was like, I was like, damn, I know there's so many fucking Philly fans. And, you know, at there are times where I know I'm the only Cowboy fan in the room. And those were my moments to shine. And I'm talking the biggest shit to all these Philly fans. And it's kind of weird. Like, I get it. I'm a Cowboy fan. And would you say I'm the typical Cowboy fan or I'm a little...
Cowboy fans are mostly arrogant. Yeah, you the typical Cowboy fan, bro.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate that. So, you know...
Rubbing in your face any chance I get, 100%.
You do. But I don't mind it. Like, I'd like to see other teams win. It's like, you know, in that scenario, it's like, who do I choose? NFC East, which is like my division.
Right.
Or do I choose Tom Brady, who always goes to the fucking Super Bowl, which I'm tired of. So I got to say, you know, and it made, you know, my lower intestine swell to say, fly, Eagles, fly. You know what I mean? But with that.
Great.
It was dope seeing them do the Philly special, which 100%. Actually, you know, be legendary. And then for me to witness and see a grown men cry.
Yeah,
of winning. No. I'm talking about just fans, like patrons in the bar.
Okay.
Grown men boo-hooing. I'm talking baby back bitch crying because it's their first time seeing their team win their first Super Bowl.
Right.
And it's like all these years of being shit and trash and whatever, and then you finally made it to the promised land. It's a pretty dope experience.
It is. 100%.
And there was a couple Eagle fans I was cool with, and I threw them a couple free shots. I was like, man, you deserve it, bro.
Yep.
And I'm like, stop crying.
All right, so what are we at? 4?
Should be at 5 now.
We're at 5?
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta put this one on the list because it's the ultimate hard-nosed play.
Mm-hmm.
By a, 35-year-old quarterback? I think he was about 35 or 38 years old. It's the John Elway. They call it the helicopter play.
Oh, yeah.
When he scrambles out and he's trying to win his last Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and he jumps out, put his body on the line, and mm-hmm. gets smacked by
two players in opposite directions, and he twists. Yeah.
He twists and hit the ground hard. And actually, it was, I don't even think it was a touchdown play. I think it was just a first down goal line type shit.
Yeah,
exactly. And to see a elder quarterback put his body on the line,
mm-hmm.
it shows a level of camaraderie for the team, right?
Yeah.
It boosts the morale of the team to be like, yo,
our quarterback is doing this shit. You know what I mean? Like, we need to step the fuck
exactly,
up.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. And even watching, you know, the playoffs this year, like, you see Tom Brady, well, I'm talking about my team again, Tom Brady running out and throwing a block for another player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see Joe Burrow's do the same thing. And I really respect the fact that if a quarterback is really to put their body on the line for their team to win.
Yeah.
Right. Most quarterbacks can kind of get, if you touch them too hard, you get a penalty flag.
Yeah.
But if you actually watch them, they actually put their bodies on the line. That literally determines me that that team was going to win that game.
Right. Yeah.
Brett Favre is another person that did that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my number 5.
I agree. My number 5 is the Harbaugh Bowl in the Super Bowl.
Wonderful game.
We were at extended stay when that game was on.
Were we?
We were.
Okay.
You don't remember that, do you?
No, I don't, but That's the same game that Beyonce took the lights with her.
Exactly.
After the halftime show.
Yep. So I called that whole year. I'm like, I said, the Harbaugh brothers are going to be in the Super Bowl. Because okay. I'm like, because both teams mimicked each other.
Right, right.
You know, strong-ass fucking defense.
You had Ray Lewis on one side, Navarro Bowman on the other.
It was right? actually Patrick Willis.
Patrick Willis. Navarro Bowman was there too, right?
He was a second-string middle linebacker, but yeah. Okay, okay. Yeah. But then on top of that, you know, you had, I think it was Eric Reed was the safety, and then you had Ed Reed
on the other
safety,
side. Yeah.
R-E-I-D, R-E-E-D. And then you had, you know, on the offense side, you had
Flacco and Kaepernick.
Yeah, Flacco and Kaepernick. Flacco was more so the game manager, and you had Kaepernick, who was the mobile quarterback. But Randy Moss was on that team, too, with the 49ers.
He was.
You know,
he
didn't catch shit, but, you know, he was there. Anquan Boldin was there.
Yes, yes.
You know, and Ray Rice, unfortunately, he was in the Super Bowl.
They had a good running back, too, though. San Francisco did.
I forgot what his name was. But just how that came up, and then the winning play was a goal line defensive stop for the Ravens, was the best way for Ray Lewis to retire.
Yes.
Because remember, that was crying Ray Lewis here, because he was crying all over the place.
It was a blowout in the beginning, and then momentum kind of tapered off a bit once they had an issue with the electricity or the lights, right?
Yeah.
Because Baltimore was beating the...
No. It was the other way. San Francisco was whooping that ass. Okay. And they were saying, like, well, with the lights being out in the Superdome, they were like, yo, we're getting kind of cold. You know, we're the momentum is starting to, because, like, we're all waiting this, that, and the third.
Right.
And you got Ray Lewis just over there just hyping up the fucking team.
Yeah.
And then I forgot that dude. I forgot his name, but he was their return specialist. He ran back a punt for them and shit because Ray Lewis, he said, come here, and he touched him. And then gave him special powers via the Lord.
Something that Ray Lewis does,
you know what I mean? And this fool ran for his life and got a touchdown. Like, that whole game was legit. But then the same aspect, like, it's still kind of nostalgia because me, you, and Jasmine were working for at the hotel.
Yep.
And I was a van driver. I came to y'all location. We went to a room.
Yes.
Because, like, I went out to Walmart and bought chips and wings and shit.
Yep.
And we were just sitting there just having a grand old fucking time eating.
100%.
And, you know, Jasmine was working the shift. So I was like, all right, if somebody calls, you know what I mean, just make sure you got the phone on you.
Right.
So we can run down real quick and help them out.
Yo, we did some shit at that.
Shout out to Extended Stay. That was a legendary time or legendary experience as a job.
Yes, 100%. It was
doing
a great
hotel
time.
Shit, but it was still wild as fuck.
Yep, we had fun.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
That was fun. So, top five Super Bowl moments, right?
Yep.
From there, any honorable mentions or anything like that?
Honorable mentions for the Super Bowl. It got to be the Marcus Allen and when Redskins and the Raiders was in the Super Bowl 92, 93, something like that.
Who cares?
And Marcus Allen running. Like, Marcus Allen was one of the baddest running backs to ever touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a phenomenal game against the Redskins that game.
All the Cowboy Super Bowls, you know what I'm saying? How about them Cowboys? Good Legendary. God. You know, Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, all that shit. Come on, man. Don't do me like
all
that.
All right, I'll give you that. But I love one thing about the Cowboys is that they never cease to let down the fact that they are an accident waiting to happen.
Shut the fuck up. It's about Super Bowl moments, all right? We're not talking about that, all right? Look, I'll give you one. I'll give you a gem. You ready for this?
Yeah, let's go.
So when we lost our playoff game this year,
okay,
I was distraught, like upset. And Jasmine was like, well, Drew, what made this time different than any other time? You want to know what my answer was?
What's the answer?
It's so fucking embarrassing, funny, and pitiful. I looked at her with a straight face and I said, I'm hurt because I actually believed in the team this year.
Oh, man.
I was upset, dude. I was pissed.
Yes.
But yeah. So.
That was funny. That's good.
But
yeah, it was wonderful Super Bowl moments. I cannot wait to next year when it comes around. We had a great year this year, and let's do it.
All right, so we'll shelf and probably next week or next week's episode, we'll probably dabble in this actual Super Bowl. But we really wanted to do for post Super Bowl, talk about our top five moments,
right?
And then go from there. So also, it is Valentine's Day.
It is. So, what do you have planned? What did you do, rather? Let's do that. What do you...
So, my thing for Valentine's Day is, one, last year, we stayed at home. And I made, like, restaurant five-star quality food.
No, you can't.
My fucking filet mignon and scallops, motherfucker.
You did?
Yeah. What? On a bed of asparagus tips.
Word.
With a side of quinoa. And I made a beurre blanc sauce and drizzled on top. Made it all nice and special and shit. And we have a wine that we really like. It's a Petit Sirah called Rehnquist.
Okay.
It's very jammy but dry. Mm-hmm. Definitely, if you get a chance, try it. The bottle's completely black. It has like a rose gold foil. Like a burnt orange foil to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very one of those beer or wines that's just sexy to put on the table and stuff like that. My mom had bought us a wine decanter for our wedding gift.
Nice.
So we set that up and decanted the wine and sat down and all that stuff. And it was really dope because, you know, it was COVID and all that shit. So
it was great to spend time.
Right. And we was being able to spend time, do a at-home date and all that stuff, candlelight dinner and all that jazz. And it was a very dope experience, and it was very romantic. This year we're looking at a couple of restaurants that we want to go to.
Okay.
We've always had a running shared note between each other of like some restaurants that we see. We'll put it on the list, like, we got to try this place or try that. So
yeah,
we might hit up something off that. I'm thinking of something a little bit more higher tier or upscale sushi.
Okay.
And if not that, probably somewhere, a nice steakhouse, something that's kind of like quaint and laid back. And it's either going to be wine or fucking martinis, dude. Like, we get after martinis.
It might be a Fogo run. Fogo de Chao.
Fogo de Chao?
Yeah,
okay.
It might be one of those. I absolutely love that restaurant. We done been so many times, I'm starting to feel like a regular in that place.
Mr. Murray! But, great to see you again.
But it's still one of my favorite restaurants and stuff like that. But for the most part, at the end of the day, I just want to spend time, hang out, spend time.
Yeah.
Check the weather.
Yeah.
Just actually, you know, listen to her.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get rid of the kids. Don't know if that's going to work out too well.
Mm.
When I say get rid of the kids, I mean like take them down to the grandparents' house.
Yeah.
For a day. It doesn't necessarily have to be on. Well, you know, when this aired, we pre-recorded this episode the day, couple days before, but you know, it released on Valentine's Day. So, cause Valentine's Day is that Monday.
Yeah.
Right. So, it doesn't necessarily have to be on Valentine's Day. We can do it another day, but I definitely want to just have a day with just me and her. And I feel like we can talk more and get to know, get under each other, check the weather of each other, be with each other once again, at least for that day.
Yeah.
That's all
and
I ask.
We've definitely tried to make sure that the vibe of Valentine's Day happens throughout the year.
Right.
And not just on Valentine's Day where you go all out and
100%.
Flowers and candy and shit like that. Like, that stuff happens all the time, but like, I get it. It's the actual sentiment of the holiday.
Right.
Right. So it's going to be a decision whether we want to go out or not. And if we do decide to go out, where, and going from there. I guess my question to you now about Valentine's Day, like, what are some things that makes, let me say this. What are some things that you like about Valentine's Day?
I like the companionship. Just the simple fact of companionship. Like, we don't have to go out. We don't have to spend money. We don't have to do anything, right? We can literally, this would be a great Valentine's Day. Order pizza and wings. Turn on a great movie. Maybe play a game or something with each other. Just the fact of both of us in a room and, you know, conversing, just spending time with each other on those days or that very day or throughout the year. Like you said, Valentine's Day doesn't just happen one time a year.
Yeah.
But that companionship, right? Because we spend our lives so much. You see my work schedule, right? 12-hour days. You know, we talking about 14, 15 hours because you know the travel time that it takes for me to get to my job. I'm working overnight, right? She works during the day, so we don't really see each other. We see each other in passing. Everything is go, 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 especially at this time of our lives when we try to be try to do great things like this podcast or Liquid Intrusion or, you know, whatever. You just try to, you keep moving throughout the year. Valentine's Day to me is perfect when you can just sit back with your significant and just enjoy each other. And those days are Valentine's days in itself. And I do it throughout the year, but, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So what about you?
For me, it's more so the aspect of actually putting everything else on the back burner and putting husband and wife first.
100%.
And it's kind of like, it's piggybacking off of what you're saying, but like we've, with the incorporation of Liquid Intrusion, we get and understand that Libco has to happen, work for Libco behind the scenes has to happen after hours from our regular 9-to-5s.
Right.
So we try to make sure we have time for that. And then after that, we try to make sure that we still are Mr. and Mrs. Dill.
Right.
And then there's days where it's like, if it's a date night or whatever, you know, there's nothing else going on. It's Mr. and Mrs. Dill.
Right.
And it's the same thing when it comes to Valentine's Day. Like, that's just one of those days where it's like, all right, whatever the fuck you got going on.
Shelf that shit.
Ixnade.
Turn your phone off, you know.
You know, wish your mama happy Valentine's Day. But after that, you know, it's us.
Right.
And it's a good day to sit back, relax, recharge your batteries, and just be in love. Because, you know, the way that society works, your actual responsibilities and all that stuff, you know, it's not forgotten, but it metaphorically gets pushed to the back burner.
Right.
And it's like, you don't have the time all day, every day to say like, hey, I love you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
right,
I love you unconditionally.
100%.
So it's one of those things. Any questions that you got for Valentine's Day before you, cause like I'm leading this up to the point to where we like, we have a time and we just say unconditional love to our significant others.
Okay. What do you, I don't have any questions for Valentine's Day, but I questions to the people, right? Let's do something like that, right? Questions to the people on Valentine's Day. I want to know if y'all can please leave a comment or, you know, send us an audio, send us a comment, send us something through our social medias or on the, you know, the DNH page itself. Just say, tell us what you're doing for your Valentine's Day and how you're making the significant other special. Or if you don't have a significant other, what are you doing for yourself for Valentine's Day? Because you have to love yourself 100% because you can't love nobody else if you don't love yourself, right? That's number one.
Indeed. I agree with that.
So
I agree with that. So before we get into our actual love and appreciation for our significant others,
right,
how about we do the beer and cigar of the week?
Let's do it.
All right. Must be time for the beer and cigar of the week. But before we do, how about you revive your life? A super supplement that's been around since the dawn of time has been reimagined for your modern lifestyle. That powerful antioxidant found in the skin of grapes is resveratrol. What is resveratrol? Have you ever heard it to be said that drinking red wine is actually healthy for you? Instead of having to drink 100 bottles of wine just to get enough resveratrol in your system, Vive has concentrated into a nice, easy, alcohol-free capsule for you. And it helped with inflammation too. Combined with 100% pure CBD, Vive has all the ingredients to help you live a lifestyle primed for health, wellness, and longevity. Hey, Big Los, give the people the website and also the code.
What up, DNH family? Go to takevive.com. That's take VYV. And in the promo code, type in DNHpod15 for 15% off your next purchase. Takevive.com.
We are back. We are back. We are doing your beer and cigar of the week. So pretty much beer of the week. But what we're doing is another Black is Beautiful. We have in front of you, once again, Black is Beautiful is an initiative that was put into place by Marcus Bakersville of Weathered Souls. He pretty much had a beer that he wanted to have proceeds, 100% of the proceeds go towards black charities or things, you know, promoting black activism. So what we have in front of you here is Union Brewing Company. They did a Black is Beautiful, and it is actually a black IPA. 8.5%. Union Brewing Company is out of Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and let you do your stuff, and I'm trying to search up what charity they actually donated to. All
right. And what style of beer you said this was again?
This is a black IPA. So black IPAs are normally, of course, black, dark color, like a stout.
You so racist.
They're hoppy as well, too.
Why the black IPA got to be hoppy? Sorry, no, I'm joking.
It's a fucking IPA.
I'm sorry. All right, so... Oh, man. I just took a sip of this beer. And I want to give it a good review so bad. I mean, because Black is Beautiful is awesome. Oh, man. Okay, so... It's very hoppy. Yes, I can definitely taste it on the back end. It lingers for a very long time. It kind of give you, Drew, help me out. What's the chalky feel that you get when you help me out?
Are you talking like a hop resin?
The hop resin in the back, right? It gives you that. Like a chalky kind of feel on the back of your palate as you sip it, right? It lingers for a long period of time, which is cool. I mean, if that's what the black IPAs go for, I'm not too familiar on that too much. I'm not where you are at this point. I love my IPAs, but I feel like the black IPAs are too strong for a novice drinker of IPAs.
Mm-hmm.
Usually my IPAs, I usually go with, the buffalo wings and french fries type of deal. Something spicy because the hops are cut to spice 100%. It's an Imperial Black IPA.
Well, yes. Sorry.
Okay. So that helps me out. 8.5.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. That helps me out. All right. So, that actually, I understand now why I have that taste of I call it the Imperial taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense. It makes sense now. All right, so that changes my palate a little bit. I'm sorry about that. So on a scale from 0 to 5, I give it a 3, right? Because it lingers on the back end a little bit longer, and I feel like for a novice beer drinker, that's not going to be appealing to them. But as far as the IPA go and the taste all around that, the Imperial IPA, it's actually pretty decent. It's not bad at all. The food that I pair it with, do I still pair it with the buffalo wings and french fries? I do, but it has to be a higher, more spicier content, like almost like the nuclear wings from Wingstop or something like that. Something with a lot of a bite to, because it got to counteract that hoppy taste in the back of your throat. You feel me?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my beer review, Drew.
Okay. So for me, going off your wings, right? I wouldn't do a spicy wing with this. I'd probably do like a deep mesquite barbecue sauce or something like that.
Okay.
Something that's a little rustic to kind of go with this roast in this beer. The liquid, it's complex is the best way to say it.
Yes.
Right? Very complex. Yes, yes, yes. I get a fruitiness off this, and it's weird. I got a little bit of grapefruit at the beginning, which is definitely the hops. But then I got like some type of berry, and I want to say strawberry.
I can smell it now that you're saying it, right? Like when you take the sip of the liquid, you know how the nasal and the tongue are like mm-hmm. so close together? That when you said strawberry, I can smell the strawberry as I'm tasting the liquid, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's there and it's weird. And this is the thing when it comes to black IPAs. It's like there's not a textbook when it comes to brewing a black IPA because your malt bill is so different, whether it's roasty, mm-hmm. If it's chocolatey, thick, if you will, and then the hops varietals that you add to it, it's like, oh shit, what do we got here? You know, I actually did a little bit of research, which I'll read off. So Black is Beautiful is a collaborative effort to raise awareness for the injustice of people of color face on a daily and raise funds to police brutality reform and legal defenses for those who have been wrong. 100% of the proceeds of the Union Black Imperial IPA will be donated to Baltimore Action Legal Team. They say that this beer is deep brown in color with a thick and persistent tan colored head. Grapefruit and spruce tips up front follow notes of burnt sugar, toffee, bread crust, medium light body from West Coast bitterness. I can definitely get that.
Right.
With a lingering cold brew coffee-like dryness on the back end.
That's what I'm tasting.
Okay.
That's what it is.
8.5%, 50 IBUs, the malt, pale malt, Cara 30. Looks like there's oats in there in Munich 20. And like the numbers is the Levibon, which gives you how deep the color will be. Just for those that okay. don't know. Okay. They do Columbus, Mosaic, Lotus Hops, and Calypso. Okay. Lotus Hops is a hop that gives a very berry flavor. So
that's where you get the strawberries yeah. from. Nice, nice.
And then they use a Scottish ale yeast, which it makes a lot of sense now because it's dry as hell on the back end. And Scottish right. ales tend to be a little toffee, caramel, and dry.
Okay.
So, all right. For me, if I was to give it a score, I would give this a 2. It's a little bit too dry for my liking.
Okay.
It's almost to the point where it's like, I'm still thirsty.
That's the point.
Well, true, but it's like, oh, shit. Like, hey.
Keep drinking.
I can't keep knocking back 8.5s. Or can I? This has been your Beer and Cigar of the Week. Black Imperial IPA from Union Craft Brewing Company.
Doing one time for me.
Woo-woo! Okay, Los. So,
what's up?
You and Angel.
Okay.
You have... A good bit of time. Share your love for Angel.
Really? On the mic? On a hot mic? All right, cool.
On a hot mic.
Angel's got to be one of the most understanding person that I've ever been around or dealt with. I absolutely love her with all my heart. And she is the epitome of, you know, womanhood and what it means, right? Day to day, she is a mother, a loving mother to her kids. And she wasn't always dealt the best hand, but she has a drive that continues on through and through. And I love that every day about her. And every day she wakes up with a positive mindset of doing things the positive way. The way it needs to be. And I can get behind that. And I know I can get behind that. And that's why I do get behind that 100%. Because she strives to always do things for the betterment of the family. For her. And she always put herself second when it comes to things. Right? My work. What I do for my job. And diapers and haircuts. And JM Sense whenever I get that going again. And I have a lot of hats that I wear, and she's always every time made a crazy amount of sacrifices for me and whatever I got going on. And for those things, I'm truly grateful of her. She has dreams and aspirations that she always strives for day in and day out. She loves from the bottom of her heart with everyone, right? Like she's the greatest thing I ever dealt with, right? And that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm in this position in my life, and I take everything on for everything, right? It's so much emotion built into what I'm trying to say. It's hard to put it in words to say it, right? Because I say a lot of words like, you know what I mean? You know how I feel? You know what I'm saying? Because right now I'm tapping into speaking from the emotional side. And a lot of times the English language does not have enough letters to put together the emotional feelings that you feel for somebody else. To have a road dog, right? A Bonnie to Clyde type of situation matters a lot. Like, because one thing that we do, we always do, is that we understand, like, inside the household, this is the home team. This is the home base. When we leave out of the house, that's when we're, you know, we have to attack or face or other things that's outside. But every time I come home, she is a part of the home team. And because of that, there's a lot of things that I do, I say, where I'm completely in the wrong end. And in front of everybody else, she has my back 100%. But then when she brings me back to the house, she'd be like, motherfucker, you know you was wrong, right? And she take hits, she take bullets, she take shots from different people, different things, and different, you know, different areas. And she always holds strong 100%. I never had to question the loyalty of her. Her loyalty has always been there. I never had to question her hard work, where she wanted to be and where she wanted to go. She's always been determined. I can't put everything together. Like, it's hard, like, to put that shit into words. But at the end all be all, I love the shit out of that girl, out of that woman, out of that mom. And that's it. That's where it starts and that's where it begins, right? With the love. True.
It's beautiful, my guy. Beautiful. No, it's beautiful. And Angel is as you said, an extraordinary woman. So shout out to Angel. When it comes to me and my wife, Jasmine, we're high school sweethearts, right?
Right.
So we've been together, you know, forever, you know. We like to dub Jasmine as one of the niggas because she is, right? But the thing is that she, as an individual, is a very strong, fearless, tenacious person, but in her own way.
Right.
Our relationship's very weird. We're yin and yang, right? Like, yeah. She's more quiet than me. She is not the one that's going to be the first one to speak in the room and all that stuff. But she's studying and she's also seeing stuff in a different lens.
Right.
And those are things that I truly admire about her, because y'all know me. I'm the loudmouth. I'm the social butterfly. I talk cash money shit and all that stuff. But the union that we have and the things that she brings to the table and the things that she does for the household and our family and, you know, the line of communication and holding on true to, like, family values.
Right.
It's bar none, you know, and it's things that, although we don't have kids yet, she's going to be the perfect and best mother.
Oh, she's going to be phenomenal.
You know,
mother.
And she's a natural nurturer. She's there for anybody. She will give, you know, the clothes off of her back or the last bite of her food to anybody, right? And from there, she's a ball of fun as well, too, right? Like, she has her own way of talking shit and throwing jabs,
right.
And it's funny. And she always tries to do her best to make sure that the flame is always there for the both of us, right? And she holds me to a standard that I have to make sure that I'm holding my weight to make sure that the flame is there as well, too.
Right.
And she's greatly appreciated. Even the things that she's been going through, like with COVID, she's been teleworking, so she's been home all the time.
Right.
She doesn't go out like that, you know, and the walls sometimes closes in on her, and she's finding things and activities to keep herself intrigued and engaged. And then her role as co-founder, co-owner, and co-brewer of Liquid Intrusion, jumping into it and taking it and running with it. You know, as a black woman in the craft beer game, it's very little less to none compared to the less than 1% of black ownership
right.
in breweries.
Right.
To see her to take this and roll with it and go from there. And it's like, a lot of people in the craft beer game, they try to get on collectives and conglomerates and all that stuff and try to, you know, rely on stuff like that. And she's really flying solo as a woman in the craft beer game. And she's not even looking, trying to join on anything like that. And I really respect that out of her, because when Libco makes it, you know what I mean, it's going to be to the point where, like, her efforts as a woman, she helped put this brewery on the map,
right,
by herself as a woman,
right,
you know, and the things that she does and all the stuff that you see that's created social media wise, the website, all that jazz, the administrative side of it, it's all her,
right,
you know. And of course,
even with the diapers and haircuts, right,
even with DNH, right, like, she does all the administrative stuff. She's, you know, the marketing, chief of marketing, if you will. And, you know, for all of us, the things that she asks for, we try to do. And she does it for us, you know, free of charge, whatever the case may be. But it's just for her. Like, it's more experience for her. So she likes doing it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her for wanting to support dreams.
Yes.
You know, like, for DNH, all of us.
Right. Right.
And then as far as the brewery, supporting that and also being a part of it and signing her name on a dotted line.
Right.
And saying, like, okay, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And then the last part of brewery-wise, I appreciate her for taking the reins on brewing the African Queen in her Seven Seas. Because I can't brew an IPA to save my life.
She brewed it.
She brews it. You know, I came up with the recipe. First time I brewed it, I was like, oh, y'all remember me freaking out. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell? And then the second time, it was like, okay, it's getting better, but it just ain't right. And then she was like, you know what?
Back off. Let me give it a shot.
Back off, motherfucking. Let me do this shit. And she did that shit. And the liquid that you taste now is off the African Queen and her Seven Seas is her brewing it. So,
but how great is that, right? Like, she brews the African Queen and her Seven Seas as an African Queen of herself.
Right. Right. There's so
it
many.
It wasn't meant for you to brew.
Yeah. There's so many different, like, levels to it. That, you know, when you peel back the onion on it, it's like, wow, like, this is why this liquid is so good.
Right.
Right. But yeah, so that's my wife. Even going from, like I said, being high school sweethearts, going to college together, then getting married and being to where we are now. And then also us still evolving and learning each other, and the notion of knowing that we got each other's back.
100%.
Can't top that. So. Jamming, as I would say.
Yeah.
She hates that shit. I love you.
All right. Is it that time?
I think it's that time.
This was a wonderful show, bro.
It was. Love and football.
Always.
You know? What it's all about. Hey.
Any final thoughts for this episode?
Hey. I think you said it best, man. Like, if you don't have a significant other, make sure you're putting the right foot forward to love yourself. There are people that are single, and it's at no fault of their own.
Right.
You know, you just haven't found the right person, but that person is out there. And maybe you have to wait for them to get themselves together.
Right.
But you will find somebody. Love is forever. Love is eternal. And may love always prevail.
Hey, I like how you did that.
Yeah. So for that, you know, we want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Diapers and Haircuts. This is season 4, episode 2. We appreciate you. Big Los, tell the people where they can find you.
Big Los 703, that's my IG, BIGLOS 703, that's my IG. Come find me on Facebook, that's my name, Carlos Murray. Like I said last week, my Twitter was hacked, and my TikTok, I gotta bring it back. I was spending too much time on TikTok. That 30 minutes of, say, I'm going to watch a video for 30 minutes turned into 5 hours a couple of times.
God damn.
And that's not me being productive at all. So I had to cut it out of my life just a little bit.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'll be back on it. Drew, where can they find you at?
Find me on Facebook, Andrew Dill, D-I-L-L, like the dill, like the dill pickle. Fuck that up.
Everything's kosher?
Everything is kosher.
Woo!
Also, when you search the name Andrew Dill, I'll probably be the only black person that you'll see. So take that for what it is. From there, Django_nerd, DJNGO_NERD. That's for Twitter and Instagram. As far as the brewery is concerned, Liquid Intrusion Brewing Company on Facebook, Libco 2021, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as well. And sign up to our newsletter. Go to our website, www.libcobeer.com. Check out all the events that we have going on. Check out all the reviews that we've been getting, every article, every review or interview that we've been a part of. We're posting on the website, so that's good things. And keep a lookout for stickers. Stickers are on the way. Stickers are in-house.
Nice.
But they're on the way. They're about to go live. So please sign up to the newsletter and be prepared for all things and be in the know for everything. But as far as this glorious podcast that you're listening to, Diapers and Haircuts Podcast, DNH Podcast, that's going to be on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Email us if you have any questions, concerns, want to be a part of the show, want to feature your beer, want to feature a cigar. DNHpodcast2019@gmail.com. Once again, DNHpodcast2019@gmail.com. We thank you for listening to this episode. We greatly appreciate it. We appreciate all the support that this podcast gets. We appreciate Marcel for still editing the show. We appreciate Marcel for providing the good beats and meats.
This is a phenomenal one in itself.
Good beats and meats. Good beats and meats. Sorry. But from there, peace, love, and crop circles. Be a friend. Tell a friend. Like, share, and subscribe.
Do it one time.
Till next time. Yee yee. Smoked meats and beets. Hey. Brisket and beets. Pork butt and beets. Tomahawk and beets.
All right, y'all.
Brats and beets.
I'm gonna leave him on that note, man. This is Big Lowe's. We signing out of here. DNH Podcast, y'all. Peace.
Hot dogs and beets.